blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 129, stanzas 3, 4, and 5. God hath ascended with a shout. Jehovah, with the trumpet's sound, sing praise to God our King, sing praise, yea, let his glorious praise abound. 3, 4, and 5 of Psalter 129.
scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Ephesians, and thereof the fourth chapter, Ephesians 4. But first we read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, and he that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, all-knowing, and thou who dost watch over each and every one of us, and has so called also in the week that is gone by, with such a serious calling, a young man who lays in the hospital, and Lord, it is now a wonder that we are not called to the graveside to bury him in the earth, but that thou didst spare his life and give him yet some more time here below. O Lord, may this solemn, this serious calling be bound upon his heart and that of his family, but also upon each and every one of us. For we do read continually and hear continually that our life is but a shadow, that we have a short time here below upon this world, but we do not believe it, and the callings which are sent unto us have no place in our heart, only hardening our hearts, unless thou wilt come with thy Spirit to bring it as an arrow within us. O Lord, we beseech thee that thou mayst sanctify and bless this calling, and with that power that alone thou art able to give it, and that thy word also may be sanctified. Remember him, and when he does lay in the hospital, and wilt thou give doctors wisdom, nurses care, and wilt thou give him health and strength again to raise him up as a monument of thy long-suffering mercies and grace, that he may one day be given to say, and what God has done for his soul, thou bringest him into affliction. O Lord, we have heard it out of thy holy word. And thy servant did say, I am the prisoner of the Lord. And then it was suffering for thy name's sake. O may it be also in that young man, that there may be a suffering for thy name's sake, and in the way of all thy true church. O look on our young people, for this calling comes in a special way unto them, and that the old must die, and the young can die. And those callings have indeed come unto them in the months that have gone by. Lord, remember those that mourn. Oh, supply for them. And look upon our youth in their youth. And all of our children. I'll give them hearts that are tender. that might fear thy name while they are still young, and that they may give their young bones and their strength unto thee who hast made them. Thy servant did call us in thy name to walk worthy of the vocation whereby that we are called, and that is for thy church, and that is a high calling in Christ Jesus. It is a calling into that true church here below, and that does receive privileges above all the world. And they are called to walk worthy thereof, because there is still a flesh, and that does strive against the spirit. And then they need to be admonished time and again, and that they might walk worthy of that high calling of God in Christ Jesus, a vocation here in this world, and whereby they are to give an example to all others that are round about them. Ah, Lord, wilt thou give the desires in the heart, and that there may be awakening from the sloth of that leaving of the first love, and a drawing again unto thyself. But even in a natural way, even every one of us, for we are created so much higher than the animals, and we may see even in the blessed creation all around us, sufficient to make us without excuse. And when we may see thy hand, thy creating hand, and thy providing hand, and thy governing hand over all things, O Lord, thou sayest that we have no excuse. Ah, we say, Lord, I am unconverted. And thou sayest, why art thou unconverted? And why dost thou not open thine eyes? Why dost thou not open thine ears? And why dost thou not see my creation and all that I do? And why dost thou not return with all my provision unto me? And why dost thou not read my word? O Lord, it is all our own fault, and we will be condemned on account of our own guilt. But there is hope, Lord, and expectation not in us, who are dead in sins and in trespasses, and by nature, O Lord, it all must come from thee. And thou hast ascended, and dost sit on the right hand of the power of the Most High, and thy kingdom is given unto thee, that thou mayest administer it from there. Oh, we beseech thee, Lord, hear us. Hear us from thy footstool. And when thou hast ascended upon thy throne, and thou knowest what it is to be here upon this world, for thou didst suffer even unto death, and thou art a compassionate and a feeling high priest, who can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Oh, we beseech thee then, Lord, do it for thy name's sake. Ah, do it for the sake of thy kingdom. Bring us in, Lord. Leave not one of us behind. Life is a serious matter. We need it bound upon our hearts, and we are nothing but foolish and carnal. We are nothing but wicked and sinful. Oh, show it to us. Give us hearts to mourn a godly sorrow, and a hungering and a thirsting after the true and the living God. Oh, Lord, remember all that are sick, for there are many. Ah, Lord, that thou may be on the right and on the left, and that thou would deliver us from this judgment. Oh, teach us also in an outward way what is thy will, what means that we are permitted to use, and that thou may give supply from heaven unto all that care for the sick. Remember those that mourn. A beloved husband, father, and grandfather, Lord, thou knowest all of them, and a relative, but also those that have lost children in the womb. O Lord, wilt thou look upon them in thy mercy, in their sorrows, and could it please thee to teach us all? O bring us to the right place in mercy before thee. Do remember those that need surgeries, our own wife, and the young person who must go in the day of tomorrow. Oh, we beseech thee also for them. Help him, Lord. Give him a little calmness. And wilt thou bless this way that has already been long for him. Give the doctors wisdom and skill, and be thou a heavenly physician for body and for soul. Remember our teachers and principals. Remember the conference, and that is to meet in this coming week. We are no longer able to attend. It is all in thy hand. O Lord, wilt thou be on the right and left and bless all the labors that are done in the midst of our schools and for the sake of our young people and our children. Give a little rest to all of our instructors. Give them instruction from on high when they must go again in the future to bring thy word, and also all the natural and carnal instruction to our children. Lord, look upon our whole denomination. Remember also our theological school, thy servant, who is receiving treatments. O Lord, be thou on his right and on his left in the weeks that are yet coming, and when it can be expected that there will be side effects to the treatments. Lord, we beseech thee that thou may help him, and that thou may give that he may continue yet a little while in the labors, the many labors that thou layest on his shoulders with the others, with the students. One must move and be on his right and left, make all things well. Also upon the mission field, and those that do labor, and those that do learn, and the language, wilt thou help them therewith, and teach them the language of Canaan. Look upon us, Lord, in this afternoon hour. A little while, oh, it is always so short. A little while to be in thy house, oh, could it be? Separated in heart and in soul and in mind, and from all the cares of this world, all that which is passing away, put away the buyers and the sellers. Oh, teach us all to lift up our hearts and minds to thee. And where thou sittest on the right hand of power, oh, give us to feel that thou art not only there with thy human nature, but that thou indeed with thy majesty and with thy grace and with thy spirit and with thy power, oh, thou art also here with us still. Though we are so still undeserving of it, forgive and take away our many sins. Give that all may be done decently and in order in thy house. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 58, all the stanzas. Ye gates, lift your heads, the glad summons obey. Ye doors everlasting, wide open the way. The King of all glory high honors await. The King of all glory shall enter in state. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 58. Beloved congregation, we read in God's word of a man who was born of four. That means that he was carried. Why was he carried? Because he could not walk. That was for him impossible. And why was that so impossible? It was because we read he was sick. He was sick of the palsy. Do you ever feel like that, man? You know that we don't read a word in the Bible and that man spoke. He just lay there. He just lay there before the Lord. You ever do that? You just lay there before the Lord? Because maybe you say, I do not have anything to pray. Sometimes we're too hard to pray. You ever too hard to pray? Sometimes we are too cold to pray. That is often what is accompanying the backsliding of the true church of God. Sometimes a man is too overwhelmed to pray. He just doesn't know what to pray anymore. Were you ever too overwhelmed to pray? Maybe you just laid there. Maybe you just went on your knees by your bed. Maybe you didn't have a word anymore. Maybe all you could do is cry. Is to weep. Maybe you have said, Lord, I have prayed so long already. I have prayed all my life and I am now 50, 60, 80, 90. And now I don't know what to pray anymore. And so you lay there. Maybe you are sometimes too guilty to pray. You ever too guilty, young people? You just lay on your knees. You don't dare say a word. You don't dare go away without praying, no. But you say, what is my life? How have I lived? I don't dare to open my mouth before the Lord. You know, this man, he had some good friends. You have some good friends. You have one good friend, young people. You ever look around you, children? You ever see anyone that has not a friend? No one. You know, there are boys and girls that have no friends. What must that be like? You ever go to such a one? You say, come with me, and I will be a friend to you. This man had four good friends. And those four good friends, we read they bore him. They carried him. That's not easy. Four people to carry a man. That would we would say that man, he cannot help himself at all. That is just weight. That is like to carry someone who is dead. Then you put all those men on that coffin. That will have to be this week too. But those men are willing to exert themselves. That's what good friends do. They exert themselves for those whom they love. And what did those friends do? They carried him. They carried him and they brought him to the Lord Jesus. You ever do that? Because that man could not carry himself there. He was palsy. He could not go. You ever do that for your friend? To pray for him? It's work. Then you must exert yourself. But that's not what good friends do. You know, actually, we don't read either that those four friends, we don't read that they spoke a word either. Opened up that roof. They let him down. We don't read of any words. There he comes down before the Lord Jesus without a single word that we read of. Christ understood. He understood. You say, yeah, he could see it. He could. He could see what that man needed for his body. He knew what they wanted. Do you believe he knows what you want? What your soul needs when you have not a word left? When you cannot pray? And when sometimes you just lay there? You just lay there? And then he could see right in the heart of that man, not only his body. No, he could see his heart. And then he spoke. He spoke on the behalf of his father, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Congregation, what is now more characteristic of the true church of God than their poverty, than their helplessness? And now what is more comforting to that church in their helplessness than that they have a most powerful intercessor, an advocate on the right hand of the Father? That is our Lord's Day for this afternoon, the Lord willing. Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 18. Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 18. Faith in our ascended advocate. First, the reality of his ascension in question and answer 46. How dost thou understand these words, he ascended into heaven? That Christ, in sight of his disciples, was taken up from earth into heaven, and that he continues there for our interest until he comes again to judge the quick and the dead, the reality of his ascension. Second, what it means that he ascended in question and answers 47 and 48. Is not Christ then with us even to the end of the world? As he has promised. Christ is very man and very God. With respect to his human nature, he is no more on earth. But with respect to his Godhead, majesty, grace, and spirit, he is at no time absent from us. Question and answer 48. But if his human nature is not present wherever his Godhead is, are not then these two natures in Christ separated from one another? Not at all. For since the Godhead is illimitable and omnipresent, it must necessarily follow that the same is beyond the limits of the human nature he assumed, and yet is nevertheless in this human nature and remains personally united to it. What it means that he ascended. Last, the advantage of his ascension, question and answer 49. Of what advantage to us is Christ's ascension into heaven? First, that he is our advocate in the presence of his Father in heaven. Secondly, that we have our flesh in heaven as a sure pledge that he, as the head, will also take up to himself us, his members. Thirdly, that he sends us his Spirit as an earnest, by whose power we seek the things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, and not the things on the earth. That is the advantage of his ascension, faith in our ascended advocate. First, the reality of his ascension. Second, what it means that he ascended. And third, the advantage of his ascension. The ascension of Christ's congregation is a very great wonder. And things that are a very great wonder are often attended with also much skepticism by the men that are in this world. And then not only that men are skeptic of it, but it is, of course, for us incomprehensible. And those things that are incomprehensible for our finite minds are also subject in many ways, in a special way, to error. And therefore, our fathers have had to refute such error. And thus they speak about the reality of his ascension, that Christ, in the sight of his disciples, was taken up from earth into heaven, and that he continues there for our interest until he comes again to judge the quick and the dead. Thus the Bible speaks very clearly about the actual ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, that it was visible, that he has ascended, we can read, in the sight of his disciples, that it is 40 days after his resurrection, after he has shown himself to his disciples, to his church, with many infallible proofs. That ascension, we can read, was from the mount called Olivet, and from there he ascended into heaven. Thus, our fathers have called it local. Local. That means that he ascended from one place, and he has gone unto another place. That is, he went from the earth, and he ascended into the third heavens. That is, he went past the first heavens, that is the atmosphere, and he went past the second heavens, that is where all of the stars and the planets dwell, and there he went into the glory of his Father, that is, as Paul says, far above all heavens, that is, far above the lower heavens. We read that while they beheld, that is, the disciples beheld, he was taken up, and that a cloud received him out of their sight. And then we read of two angels, two men. They have appeared unto the disciples at that time, and they have assured them that he would so come in like manner, in the same manner. He will come in the same glorious manner. He will come in the same visible manner as he has gone into heaven. Thus, that was to an actual place, an actual physical place. We do not know, of course, the nature, the exact nature of heaven, or even of of hell. Those things are hidden from us. But to the disciples, the Lord Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions." He says, "I go to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would have told you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, then I will come again, and I will receive you unto myself." That is, in the human nature, we can read of Stephen that he saw him. He saw him when the heavens were opened to him, that he may get a little view past all that is carnal and sensual. The Apostle Paul says that he passed into, he went into the heavens. And we know that the Apostle Paul has also heard him even when he appeared to him on that way to Damascus. And so Paul says, our conversation is in heaven. Does that make us ashamed? Our conversation is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. That will be necessary, won't it, children? You say, because otherwise we cannot go up into the sky, can we? Where the airplanes are, that is still in the atmosphere. You say, we cannot live there. And then in that place, our bodies are not able to function anymore. No, that is why the Lord says that our bodies need to be changed, and so also the body of the Lord Jesus. That is why I say that we do not know exactly what the nature is of those places which are beyond this world. That ascension of Christ is sometimes said to have taken place by the power of the Father. That is, that the Father, we read that the Father received him. And we read that he was taken up. That is, that it was done by the power of someone else beside himself. Thus it is done by the power of his Father. Well, that is, congregation, a great honor. Because the Father speaks then in that which he is doing, that he is taking him up, that he is receiving him. The Father speaks. He says that he has sent him, and now the work that he has sent him to do on the earth is finished. And the time has come to receive my son back unto myself. Who can imagine what that was? Because, boys and girls, when we commemorate Christmas and the Lord Jesus came from heaven, then you know that there was a great host that was appearing and that they were singing. That was when he came. That was when he was born, when he became incarnate. And now when he has finished that work, then he goes up back unto his Father, then you may believe that there was a great rejoicing in heaven at the finishing of that work of Christ. Now sometimes that is described in God's word as an action that ascending into heaven, that is something that the Lord Jesus himself did, and that it is his own work. We know that is also so of the resurrection. He was resurrected by the Father, and we can read that he himself rose from the dead. Well, we read also of his ascension, that he departed. So that is something that he himself did. His going unto his Father. His entering into that within the veil. His passing into the heavens. So that is all a manifestation of his own power. But also of making use of the right. That is, a right that he had obtained to go, to pass into the heavens and to take possession of the glory which he had purchased for his church. Thus the Lord now has a right to bring with him into heaven his own people. Thus the third heavens is now the dwelling place of the Lord Jesus Christ with his human nature. Who can fathom that? Our fathers say he continues for our interest. That means he is there specifically with his human nature. Thus, he is specifically there as a representative of his own elect. That was different than before he came, because he came from heaven. But there he had no human body. And now when he returns to heaven, he returns to heaven also as a human being. It is true, you say Elijah and Enoch, they have gone to heaven first. That is true. But they only went there on the basis of the fact that Christ would in the future enter into that place also with his body. Yeah, you can say and try to speculate what would have happened now if men never fell. Would men's bodies have ever entered into heaven? Yeah, we can have all those kinds of questions. You say maybe young people, they are interesting things to speak about, right? But that is useless, isn't it? Because all of this was decreed. And that was not to happen. But you know, we have revealed unto us what has happened. And we have revealed unto us also where it is possible, where it is now possible, that you and I may go even unto those same heavens. Why? Because there is one thing that is sure, that our sin has shut us out. That human nature that was now made so far above the animals and has sinned greater than any of the animals who have not sinned are not capable of immoral behavior. And now we have shut ourselves out. That human nature. But now what do we read today? That our human nature is there. That human nature that you and I may have. We have here a great consolation for that true church of God. Because Satan would like to rob that church of all her comforts. But Satan was not able to keep Christ in the grave. Neither was he able to keep Christ out of heaven. Neither is he able to destroy the true comforts of the church of God. The Lutherans also teach the ascension of the Lord Jesus, but not actually, not a real ascension. Thus they speak about it, and they say it has a different meaning than what we say. And that is now our second thought. What it means that he ascended, is not Christ then with us even to the end of the world as he hath promised? That is now the reasoning of the Lutherans, because they say the Lord Jesus has said, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Then they say, how can it be? Then it is not possible that the Lord Jesus has ascended into heaven. And that seems like a logical reasoning, doesn't it? And yet our fathers easily answer that seeming contradiction. Christ is very man and very God. With respect to his human nature, he is no more on earth. But with respect to his Godhead, majesty, grace, and spirit, he is at no time absent from us. So Christ is man, yes, but Christ is also God. And thus, the attributes of the human nature belong to the person of Christ, and the attributes of the divine nature belong to the person of Christ. Both of those natures with their different attributes are all belonging now to that same person. So what are the attributes of that divine nature that is omnipresence? And thus that attribute belongs unto the person of the Son of God, even the Son of Man. But that human nature cannot be everywhere present. You cannot, children, be present in two places at once, right? And his nature. Do you know that the Lord Jesus has a body just like yours and mine? Same. Same. That's a great comfort, isn't it? Not a different body. Not a different nature. And like we cannot in our body be present in two different places at once, he also is not able with his body to be omnipresent. But in his divine nature, he is certainly omnipresent, and that belong both to his person. And thus he can say, I go away, and still he can say, I, that is his person, I am ever present with you. He can be with them and he can be away from them. That is possible only because of those two natures. But if his human nature is not present wherever his Godhead is, are then not these two natures in Christ separated from one another? That also seems so logical, doesn't it? But it is an error, not at all. For since the Godhead is illimitable and omnipresent, it must necessarily follow that the same is beyond the limits of the human nature he assumed, yet is nevertheless in this human nature and remains personally united to it. Thus, what do they say? Those natures, they are not mixed together. No. They are not separated from each other. They are not separated from his person. Both belong to that person, but they are also not mixed. And each of them has its own individual attributes. Thus Paul himself, he said to the Corinthians, though I be absent in the flesh, he says, yet am I with you in the spirit. Those are two different things, the flesh and the spirit. And so if that is possible with Paul just by his flesh and spirit, much more is it possible with Christ in his dual natures. Our minds go in places, young people, where our bodies are not able to go. Thus, because our mind has a different characteristic than our body, that is able to flow freely. But our bodies are not able to do that. The rays of the sun, they are able to go in many, many places where that sun is not able to come. Much more is the divine nature of Christ able to go into places where the human nature of Christ does not come. Let us sing 303. Stanzas 2 and 3, thy people will be gladly thine when thou shalt come in might, like dawning day, like hopeful youth, with holy beauty bright. And what follows, 2 and 3 of Psalter 303.
Thank you.
Our third thought, question and answer 49, of what advantage to us is Christ's ascension into heaven? First, that he is our advocate in the presence of his Father in heaven. In Lord's Day 16, we have heard that Christ is the satisfying surety of his church, that is congregation by covenant, that was already in the covenant of redemption in eternity, that the Son has made a promise to the Father, and that that promise was acceptable unto the Father. What was that promise? Well, if that would come to pass, and that that elect church would not fulfill their obligation in the keeping of that holy law of God, then Christ says, I will pay their price, and I will bring to you the full and the complete satisfaction of that law. He says, I will do it for them. That was now acceptable unto the Father. Many times the office or the payment of a temporal surety here below is not needed. And that is always the best. But sometimes it becomes necessary as a very humbling thing, right? Young man, and his father has become surety for him and says to the bank, young people, I will pay it if he is not able. And now he says, yeah, I cannot do it. I cannot do it. I cannot bring that all together. That's a very humbling thing, isn't it? At least if we have any concern about fulfilling all of our own obligations, then a man is brought very low. And now the payment of Christ has become congregation necessary. Because under the temptation, Adam fell. And he has plunged his entire posterity into a debt that they are not able to pay. You ever feel the shame? You ever feel the shame? Oh, how high that we were created. And with what an obligation over all of the creatures were we created. And how that we have so purposely, and we continue that way, with no desire to do anything different. Oh, are you ever ashamed? In our temptation, man was lifted up in pride in that first sin. Now how is it in the redemption? Then all that pride has to be lost. You ever lose it? That is now the work of the Spirit to show to us what we have done, and that it is our own fault, and that we come so helpless to pay what our obligations are before our Maker and our Creator. Oh, that deliverance of Christ, that is for a people who have cut off their own hands and cut off their own feet. And every one of those people will learn something about that. And so the intercessory work. And the work of mediation became necessary. Christ had promised it. And now he must do it. And so we have heard it. Christ descended. And he came to do what he had promised to do if his people failed to do it. And so he descended into this world to satisfy the demands of that law. Placed himself under the law. He fulfilled every one of its statutes and its precepts, its commandments, every one of them. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And he endured, he suffered the curse that lay on his people because of their disobedience. And now last Lord's Day, we heard about the proof of that satisfaction. That is proof from heaven that he was released out of the prison. As the Father says, you may come out because that is now completely paid. And so now we have the proof that is from the Father. And where now does Christ go? Christ now goes back unto the Father. And what now does Christ have to do there? Well, he is there to present unto his Father what he has done for his church. That is to present the payment that is due unto his Father as surety for that church who was not able to pay it because of their own disobedience. Now that is vividly portrayed in the Old Testament high priest. That is why that is also so important in the Bible. Because then the high priest had to go to that altar and take from that altar the blood from the sacrifice on that altar and bring it now within the veil. And when he comes inside that veil, no one else is allowed to come there by the pain of death. That is the presence of the Most High God. And there he is to sprinkle that blood upon the mercy seat before the presence and in the presence of his Father, that is of God himself. Thus we have in the Old Testament already, the typification of the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. And also the prophecy. David says, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Thus, that work of Christ is not altogether finished. It is finished on the earth. Therefore the Father takes him up. But it is not yet finished in heaven. And therefore the apostle says he is a priest. How long, boys and girls? How long? Forever. He is a priest forever. After the order of Melchizedek. Now when those four friends lay that palsied man before the Lord Jesus on the earth, then humanly speaking, they come there to ask something. We said the Lord Jesus understood what their request was. But from their side, they don't know what the issue is. Because they come there to ask for mercy. They come there to ask for grace. And they do not know what the Lord Jesus is going to do, what he is going to say. But when the Lord Jesus is ascending into heaven, It is very different. Why? Because he is already accepted by his Father as the surety for his own church. Thus, that covenant that has already been made, that covenant has already been sealed. Thus, the Lord Jesus does not come to ask his Father something. He does not come there to beg of his Father anything. No, he comes to present something. He comes to present to his Father that payment that he had promised that he would give. Thus, the advocacy of the Lord Jesus Christ before his Father is simply a transaction. It is a transacting of the terms of the covenant that have already been sworn from eternity. What does that mean? There is nothing questionable about it. There is no uncertainty with the issue when the Lord Jesus comes into heaven. There is no decision that is yet to be made. No, he is only coming as one whom the Father has already justified in his own resurrection. But now in that ascension, Christ is also receiving his own reward. He is crowned. He is crowned as a victor. Crowned as a victor over death, over hell, and over sin, and over Satan. Paul says, having spoiled principalities and powers, so the power of the devil, the principality that is the reign of the devil, having spoiled it all, it says he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. So in his ascension, there was a triumphing over the devil in the victory that he had gained in his work as mediator. Thus, in his ascension, the Lord Jesus formally receives his church. In his ascension, he receives his kingdom. He is set, as it were, on the throne of his kingdom. In his ascension, there is, in a formal way, that the church is given unto the Lord Jesus Christ, that it may be his own people, that they are now rightfully his, because he has made this purchase. And where is the ground of it? Well, that high priest had to go out to that altar of burnt offering, and it is only from there that he may bring that blood in from that sacrifice into that holy of holies. And so Christ, when he is ascending, then he is bringing that blood, that shed blood. Ah, that body, the disciples have seen him go with those hands that were pierced, that were blessing them, and with which he was going with his own shed blood into the presence of his Father. Thus, it is grounded on that vicarious sacrifice that he has offered for his church. Oh, you understand something then of the great power of this advocacy on behalf of his people. It is not possible that this advocacy would fail. And that is why our fathers say, secondly, that we have our flesh in heaven as a sure pledge that he, as the head, will also take up to himself us, his members. What did the Lord Jesus say to his disciples? He said that I will, or he said to his Father, I will that they should be with me where I am. Why? because he loves them. And then after his ascension, then he desires also that his disciples will be with him where he is, in the place where he has gone, in the heavenly mansions that he says that he has gone to prepare for them. And that is now not only from his side. No, what did the apostle Paul say? He says, I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, he says, which is far better. And now is that not a wonder? That church may know that their flesh is in heaven. Because congregation, otherwise we would say that is not possible, right? We would say that is not possible. But now that church knows that it is possible. Oh, it is much more than possible. It is so very, very sure. And now that Christ, with his human nature, as he is in heaven, is ensuring that people will also be brought to that place. Why? Because he is the head. And what does he say? The apostle says that he will have no schism in the body. He will not have schism between the members. But he also will not have a schism between the head and the members. And therefore, it is not only in the interest of that people, but it is in the interest of Christ himself, that not only he has ascended, but that they shall also ascend. And thus, thirdly, our fathers say that he sends us his Spirit as an earnest by whose power we seek the things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, and not things on the earth. What is that now? That is, congregation, the subjective application of the work of Christ in the heart of his people. That's subjective. That is the Spirit's work. And now what do our fathers say? That is now the fruit. That is the fruit whereby they seek the things that are above. That's a fruit. That's an effect. That is a consequence of something. Are you glad with that? That can provoke two different emotions in us. And that one is this. That you say, then why should I seek? Because I can't do it anyway. It almost come from him. And then we go out that door. We say it is a one-sided work. And therefore, if the Lord wants to convert me, he will convert me. That is the one way. Very, very dangerous. Very dangerous. There is another feeling. There is another emotion. That it is possible that this works in your heart. And what is that? That a person says this. Is that a fruit? Is that a fruit? Then there is hope for me. Then there is hope for me. Why? Because I cannot change myself. It says here, seek the things that are above. And I come to the church and I read my Bible in my home and I pray and I read a good book. I try to meditate And this heart, it is dead. It is dead. I've been doing that for so many years. And I cannot move that heart. And then I see, oh, I hear sometimes, oh, could it be more? I hear God's people. And then there is something there. There is a life there. There is a hunger there. There is a desire there. There is a love there. There is a longing there. And I know it doesn't always show on those people, but I can hear it. It doesn't leave them. And I don't have it. And I don't have it. And I try. I try to get it. And I cannot get it. That this heart won't change. So dead. So dead. So carnal. Wicked. And now I hear it is a fruit. And now that is my hope. That is my hope. Oh Lord, dost thou do it? Lord, that is thy work. You know that opens congregation for that people? For whom it is so impossible. Who have no power. That opens a way. That opens a way. That opens a place on their knees. In their secret chamber. Ah, then they say, who can tell? Who can tell? And then they are going upon their knees. Ah, maybe just one word. Maybe just one word. Oh Lord, help me. Oh Lord, quicken me. Quicken me. That's what David said many times. The word of God, quicken me. Oh Lord, give me life. He knew what life was. And he couldn't get it for himself the second time either. But now we hear of the origin of that power. What do we read here? Their father speak about a power. You need power? You need power? Or is all of your religion good enough? You don't need power. Our Father speak about power. By whose power we seek the things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, and not things on the earth. That takes power, doesn't it? Takes power, right? Here, in this heart. To make that heart seek, to make that heart go after, to make that heart love something it does not love. It does not seek. And oh, you say, I wish it would seek, but it does not seek. Here is the power. It is the power of Christ who is sitting on the right hand of God, who is there as an advocate for whom? For people cannot pay, and who cannot seek, no power to seek. That is his clientele. A poor, bankrupt sinner. This surety. We have someone today suitable for him? Is he suitable for you in a personal way? Such an advocate for a people who say, I cannot pay, I cannot even pray. I cannot even pray. I cannot even give to myself a sigh. I cannot give to myself even a desire, a desire for the things that are above. Oh, David, he says, thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Oh, let such then, let such congregation draw near to that advocate. And even if you have not a word because of guilt, because you are overwhelmed, because you know not anymore what to pray, then just lay there. Then just lay there on your knees before his footstool, and he will understand it. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we cannot pray as we ought. We cannot lay before this congregation as we ought. But it is all in thy hands. Oh, could it be that thy spirit may bless this simple word, and thou who sits in thy throne of glory and wouldst from heaven thy dwelling place look down and behold the things that are in the heavens and in the earth, and hear especially the groaning of the prisoner, and releasing those who are appointed unto death. Grant us a good Sabbath day also in this evening in our places, wherever that we may be. Thy servants who will bring thy word still in this evening be on their right and on their left. Keep us from sinning against thee on thy holy day. Care for those who must receive surgery, and remember him that is in the hospital. Remember our brother elder also in his home. Supply for all his needs. Forgive all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 183, 1, 2, and 4. O Lord, thou hast ascended on high in might to reign. Captivity thou leadest the captive in thy train. 1, 3, 2, and 4 of 183. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.